If you want to get your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 204, which we're entitling Zoomies. This is an all-tech show, so it's just me, Chris, today. Well, Chris and two dogs laying on the couch next to me. So let's jump right into it. This is probably a pretty short show. It was confirmed via desktop benchmarks that the Intel 12th Gen top-of-the-line Core i9 outperforms an Apple M1 Max. Every reviewer who published the results and duplicated the results said this is all with caveats. It actually only outperforms the M1 Max by 4%, and that's within a region of error. But it outperforms the M1 Max at 100 watts power draw average with a spike up to 140 watts. The M1 Max only uses 40 watts of power at maximum output. So the M1 Max can get a maximum battery life of 21 hours compared to the Intel system. And this was an actual Intel laptop that they used in the benchmarks. It was a, let me find it here in my long show notes. It was a GE76 Raider. It was a 17-inch gaming laptop that weighs 6.8 pounds and it's over 1 inch thick. The funny thing is that they're comparing themselves to a 16-inch M1 Max MacBook Pro, which is 4.8 pounds and is 0.66 inches thick. So the thermal profile on this is just totally different. What is significant about this? Well, one, the M1 Max is although it is the current chip or current high-end Apple Silicon processor, we know that there are others coming out. It's 2022 now. Those were released in late 2021. Whereas the 12th gen chips from Intel are almost nowhere to be found. We'll see those be prolific probably at the point when the next gen M1 or M2 or whatever Apple calls their next M1X Max or whatever top of the line chip is released in the fall. What is important about this is we have some competition in the processor market again. And it's not just on the x86 platform. We're now seeing other architectures like ARM architectures, like Apple's Silicon, become hyper competitive in the high-end gaming laptop / workstation space. And that is very exciting because that, you know, competition usually leads to innovation. Innovation also, and competition and innovation also tend to lead to prices lowering. So very, very good hardware like the 11th gen, which is currently available, because I've been looking at an 11th gen Dell XPS 13 because I need it for some development projects. And those come in at a relatively decent price. I'm actually very impressed with the Dell XPS 13 from a price perspective, because you're talking a $1,200 laptop that has two Thunderbolt 4 ports, a high-end screen that's also a touch screen, although on a laptop, touch screens are not a, definitely not a requirement for me. It's just kind of a toy. And a 16 gig of RAM and a 512 gigabyte SSD, which is all I need for my projects that I plan to use. But that's a very, very capable laptop for $1,200. That is not your $300. You know, oddly enough, AMD is killing it in the budget space. You know, and HP seems to be leading that. So HP has a whole bunch of Ryzen 3 machines that 12, 13, 14 inch screens that start at like $299, and most of them are like $329. And yeah, you get 4 or 8 gig of RAM, and you get 128 gig SSD, but those machines are all upgradable. Go out to Crucial, find you, and I'm not sponsored by Crucial, so find you a memory upgrade. Whereas like the XPS 13 is like MacBook Pros, you cannot upgrade the memory in them, although you can upgrade the SSDs, which is kind of strange. But if you want something that has a low profile, you know, to be able to carry multiple machines around with you and don't waste so much, that's a good option. But I'm super psyched about this because in the technology world, what's better than better and faster chips? I also am hoping that, you know, in 2022, we might see something change within the Raspberry Pi, you know, different ARM processor, something that supports up to 16 gig of memory. That would be really nice. You know, to me, if a single board computer would cost $99, I think that that would be ideal as long as it had. And I don't care on something like that, you know, LDDR3 memory or LPDDR3 memory, low power DDR3 memory would be awesome. As long as you could get more memory, because there's some projects I'd like to do where it would be nice to have more memory. You know, when you have, when you're wanting to do some databasey things, that might be something. And it's not that I'm doing a database thing to run a database on it. A database is required for the neural network and learning, and I would like it all to run separately and not have to have a, you know, another machine, much more powerful machine, running a metadata database. So, that being said, let's move on. So the new Ford Maverick hybrid pickup truck totally surprised the industry, including Ford, who created it. Fan groups have popped up all over Facebook with more than 12,000 members. The truck has only been available for a little over 130 days. Ford sold 13,258 Mavericks in the final 3 months of 2021, and 2,311 of those were hybrid. Ford is offering the first pickup truck to come standard as hybrid, and that's significant. There's an article out, I think from Forbes, where they're talking, can Ford take on Tesla in their space, which is the pickup truck space? You know, Ford doesn't, in the United States, Ford doesn't sell anything that isn't a truck, SUV, or the Mustang. And they released across the board, you have the Ford Lightning, F-150 Lightning, which is to take on the Tesla truck, which is ridiculously ugly looking and not practical in any means, as well as they have an Econoline electric van, and they have the Mustang Mach-E, which is electric, showing that you can, just like Tesla, that you can have sports cars that have lots of power and lots of torque and lots of acceleration in an electric vehicle. That is pretty cool in and of itself. I'm stoked. I want a Ford Maverick badly. I love those trucks. I think it could replace my, and actually it wouldn't replace my 2004 F-150, which will go to my son, but it will be an addition to our, you know, our farm trucks that we require for doing things. And it'll be a little more comfortable, a little bit more energy efficient from a price perspective. So go Ford Maverick. And last but not least, let's talk about Linux. So Linux has their kernel 5.17 coming out. It has new optimizations for about every CPU across the board, from AMD, Intel, Apple M1 chips, and the Raspberry Pi. There are GPU DRM driver updates. So it offers initial Raptor Lake enablement and Alder Lake P graphic stability. Some optimizations to the VC4 driver to deliver 4K resolutions on Raspberry Pi platform. AMD Seamless Boot for any new hardware release. Adaptive Sync. Intel 11th Gen Core Ice Lake graphics, which is now the dominant Intel platform out there, and a whole bunch of optimizations and enhancements for stability and compatibility for the new Intel discrete GPUs, which I would love to see one. There's lots of things that they've added. I mean, including the support for M1, Apple M1 Silicon. They're removing some things like AMD 3D Now from the kernel. The random jump, there's random number generator enhancements. There's lots of things. Fuse will have an option for per-file DACs. And ext4 will make the switch to Linux's newest API mount. There's lots of ext4 file system things. This is a major update to the Linux kernel, adding support for lots of current hardware and new hardware. So, you know, what this is important is that this will drive more Linux on the desktop. I hate to say it, I love macOS and I can tolerate Windows 11, but I also love Linux on the desktop. And, you know, the more support for plug and play and things like that means that companies like Ubuntu can strike more deals with companies like Dell and HP to offer Linux directly on the, as opposed to Windows, you know, and in today's society, a lot of it is about where, you know, what platform has the tools you need and then what ecosystems and, you know, Linux doesn't, like Windows, Linux doesn't have as big an ecosystem as Apple, who has, you know, wonderful interoperability between the iPhone and iPad and the and Mac OS and you know, Apple TV and your Apple Watch and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But they have much better ecosystem than Windows does. You know, Windows is all dependent upon Linux. It's kind of funny. For its ecosystem, you know, you want to integrate with Alexa or you integrate with Android or Google Home, and you know, Linux has the ability to integrate with almost anything. You can go with the mainstream stuff like Google Home and Alexa, or you can be more privacy minded, and there's lots of options out there for home assistants that just work at home, and there's great support for Zigbee and X10 and those types of technologies for home automation. And gaming has gotten so much better on, you know, Steam alone. Gaming is phenomenal and it's just going to get better. You know, the Steam Decks are now being released for the home reviewers. We actually now have a date for delivery and, you know, when your reservation comes due. So it will be really, really phenomenal in 2022 in the Linux world. Will Linux replace macOS and Windows? No. Will Linux be part of the big three, even more so in the consumer space? Absolutely. I think you're going to find more and more people who will go with Linux. I mean, I because a buddy of mine had a budget and he wanted to spend all that budget on building a new gaming PC, his gaming PC runs Ubuntu Linux. Why? Because Ubuntu's free. And, you know, with the exception of a couple things, he has not had very many support issues on that machine, far less so than he does with Windows on his aging Windows machine. So think of it that way. Well, let me know what you think of all the new technology coming out. Send us some feedback to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And certainly give us, you know, throw the show 204 in the subject line so we know which show you're sending feedback on. And we'll see you on the digital flip side.
Listening to Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.